Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. My name is Doug Wortham, and I'll be your host for today's show. Today, we'll have a discussion about the Special Emphasis Council in the Minnesota National Guard, and then we'll get some information about the Social Security Disability Outreach, Access, and Recovery Program within the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and we'll round the show off with an update from one of our county veteran service officers. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Armed Forces Day is our annual opportunity for us to celebrate the service and sacrifices made by more than 2 million women and men in uniform throughout this nation's history. Today, service members make up less than 1% of the population, so it can be easy to forget those who wear the uniform, live here, work here, and serve amongst us right here in Minnesota. This week, I invite all of my fellow Minnesotans to take the time to get to know your military. Please join me in celebrating the service of our soldiers, Marines, sailors, airmen, and Coast Guardsmen on this Armed Forces Day.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us from the Minnesota National Guard is Captain Nicole Wiswell. Captain Wiswell is the commander of Headquarters and Headquarters Company of the 334th Brigade Engineer Battalion. Additionally, Captain Wiswell serves full-time with the Minnesota National Guard in the Diversity and Inclusion Office as the Special Emphasis Program Manager. Captain Wiswell, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, it's good to have you in the studio, and it's good to have conversations like the one we're going to have here. But can you please just start off and just explain to us a little bit about what the State Special Emphasis Program is inside the Minnesota National Guard? And then I understand there's 8 councils that go along with it.
Absolutely. So the idea is the majority of our airmen and soldiers are civilians or students. They're traditional guardsmen. And we want to make sure that we're supporting them in the same way on the military side as we are the civilian side. So just as companies and educational institutions have employee resource groups or affinity groups where people can go and meet with similar people, maybe express concerns, get networking development. Minnesota National Guard said, hey, here's a great idea. Let's see if we can implement that too. So some of our service members are able to essentially be with communities that maybe they wouldn't otherwise see in their traditional role, in their M-Day role. So we have 8 councils right now. They are the African American Black Heritage Council, the Asian American Pacific Islander Council, the Disability Employment Awareness Council, Hispanic Latino Council, Indigenous Heritage, Holocaust Remembrance, LGBTQ+, and the Women's Leadership Council. And these are ways that soldiers and airmen have an opportunity to network with different branches, network with, get mentorship from leaders from all branches, and it's traditional and full-timers as well. And we participate with community events and observances.
And so an example of success is shown in the business model because of the great relationships that the Minnesota National Guard has with other businesses, a model that the Minnesota Guard adopted into the Guard so that there can be kind of a better tie or connection to, do we call them, is it an underrepresented community, or how do you describe that?
Sure. There are all sorts of words, right? Underrepresented is fine, or non-historically centered. But the idea is, you know, one type of ERG I like to bring up is in the civilian world, a lot of the Fortune 500 companies we have here in Minnesota that some of our service members belong to, they also belong to a military or veterans ERG, because I think all of us would agree when you're working for Target or Best Buy or General Mills, you might have some concerns. How is your family being treated during deployment? You're being away from your job to attend training, annual training, or go to school. And being able to connect with other veterans and connect with resources in your civilian job is really useful. So we thought, okay, why not implement this in Minnesota and the National Guard as well? So we have folks that can have those conversations and address concerns. And then that messaging goes up to the top leadership as well.
And as the program manager, I'm assuming then that you can't do everything. So you've got these 8 councils, you know, representing the areas that you already mentioned. Is there someone then that kind of reports up to you to say, hey, here's how we're doing as a council. Here are the events we're participating in.
Yeah, so the idea is all of our leaders and members are collateral duties. This is a volunteer job for them. TAG has authorized in the state up to 20% of any traditional or full-time service members' time can be devoted to diversity and inclusion activities. So we have full-timers, we have traditional Guard members, and they look at this as a labor of love, as a way to get involved with their community, and maybe even to learn about some of the other cultures we have in Minnesota. And then I just kind of wrangle and fill in the gaps for those folks that don't have enough time to be doing all of that stuff. So making sure we're set up for success with those partnerships we have.
And one of the motto for the Minnesota National Guard is the "We live here, we work here, we serve here." And, you know, using that motto, why is it then important for the Minnesota National Guard to reflect the community demographics, specifically keying in on that, hey, we live here?
Part of it is we have that trust, we have that rapport, we have that credibility, because these are our neighbors, our family members, people we go to school and church with. So certainly recently with our support to state active duty, with our long-term care facility support, we were accepted in these communities and seen as partners and helpers and not some sort of outside threat or anything else. So it's part of our state mission, and we take that very seriously.
And you already mentioned, and if you wouldn't mind again, the 8 special emphasis councils, but then go into a little bit more detail about why these 8 councils are truly important for our traditional guardsmen and women.
Well, at this point in time, Minnesota is just getting more and more diverse. Most recent numbers, we're looking at 30% of the recruitable age population is multiracial or is non-Caucasian. And when we have these folks coming in, we want to make sure they feel supported if some of our older service members maybe don't look like them or don't necessarily come from the same background. So these groups are a way for people to connect and to have that crosstalk with leaders. Say, hey, here's some concerns. Here's some information about my community. Here's some traditions I would love to share with you. In the same way as you don't know somebody when you meet them at basic training and then you end up going through some stuff together, you sit down, have lunch with them, and you learn your story. And then you end up having a better, more cohesive team.
And so you talk about, you know, the involvement of these different 8 special emphasis councils. What is or what has the reception of it been or participation, right? I mean, obviously we don't force mandatory participation in certain things, but has there been kind of this overwhelming support or desire for people to be involved and actually come so they can learn about these other cultures or people that might not look like them?
Certainly. So as one of my mentors likes to say, how can you lead someone you don't know? So a lot of it is just basic leadership. I want to know if my soldiers are having money problems, education problems, family issues. If I don't necessarily know about this person's background, joining one of the councils or attending an event, I might learn a little bit more about them, about their history, about their decision to serve otherwise.
And how does somebody then get more involved if they want to actually be a participant on the council itself, not just go to an event?
So we have a variety of ways. The Minnesota National Guard page, we have a web page there. People can get in touch with me. And we have a very active social media as well because we're trying to reach soldiers where they are. So a lot of technically savvy younger people out there, and they can see pictures of us when we're out doing events or out in the community, participating with some of our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon partners and our other community nonprofit partners as well.
And are your council members, you know, the actual driving force of the Emphasis Council, is it a combination of Army and Air National Guard members?
Yes, it is. So there's a mixture of Army and Air. It crosses all of the different ranks, and there's actually leadership responsibilities set up according to rank so that we're able to make sure junior enlisted and officers are able to get their concerns pushed up to the top and that TAG's messaging and priorities are pushed down and heard at all levels. So it's really great partnership there, and also full-time and traditional as well. So it's a great mixture, a lot of good perspectives.
So one of the reasons to get involved is not only to learn a little bit more about what that emphasis council is, but then also you get an opportunity or a person gets an opportunity to learn a little bit about their sister service and hear about those Army or those Air Force issues and concerns and then work together and develop a great relationship.
Exactly. And we're so successful. We had some airmen that were representing us at a Southeast Asian veterans event, and some of the Air Reserve airmen that happened to be on base saw them and are actually looking at trying to cross over to the Guard because they had no idea we had such support resources.
Well, that's a good note to end this segment on. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Captain Nicole Wiswell. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and we've been speaking with Captain Nicole Wiswell. Captain Wiswell is the Diversity and Inclusion Office. That's where she works for the Minnesota National Guard as the Special Emphasis Program Manager. And again, Captain Wiswell, I want to continue on with the conversation. And, you know, one of the hot topics and, you know, in the news, there's a lot of conversations about recruiting, retention inside of our armed forces, kind of some of the issues that they're facing right now with meeting end of year goals. I'd like to bring it into the Minnesota National Guard and the Special Emphasis Program, and maybe you can talk a little bit about that relationship, right, between how the importance of inclusion and belonging and how that impacts retention and what you're seeing inside of the Minnesota National Guard.
Absolutely. Well, the good thing is with the economy being strong, there are lots of opportunities for people to get benefits and serve outside of the military. So we really need to make sure that we're giving soldiers and airmen a reason to stay. And what we've seen through time, through exit surveys and feedback, is the more people feel that they belong in an organization, the more they feel their development opportunities, the more they feel that they belong to that team, the more likely they are to stay, and you're going to be able to retain the best people. So with the special emphasis programs, we're giving people another opportunity to connect with each other, to share their stories and backgrounds, to show all of the things they bring to the table, all of their individual strengths, their different perspectives and experience. And it really makes them feel a part of the team. It makes them feel seen. It makes them feel recognized.
And so obviously that's important, right? If you're feeling like you're a part of the team, if you're wanted to be on the team, you're a valued member of the team, generally that would be a reason why some would want to stay. One of the things that I've talked about often is typically there's two reasons why people are going to leave an organization, right? Because they want to or because they have to. If someone has to leave the organization, it's a multitude of reasons, right? Family things, commitments outside. But if they want to leave, generally it's a leadership problem. And if you boil it down, it might be that that person just isn't being taken care of. The leader's not doing their job.
Absolutely. And in this way, with the special emphasis programs to junior service members, because they have those opportunities to network and connect with those senior leaders, they have that mentorship right there. They have those possibilities. So instead of just looking to their immediate supervisor or someone in their immediate area, they are able to broaden out and say, hey, maybe this is somebody that I could emulate. Maybe this is somebody who's been where I've been and can give me advice or who can set me up and support me. And it makes a lot of people feel like they have a path forward, which is great to see on our end.
And so this will sound not politically correct, all right, but it'll make a point that I know you'll be able to talk to, because you've already mentioned some of this stuff already. But for the bulk of the organization, it is generally older white males, okay? Why or what would be the importance of that white population who doesn't have a special emphasis council representing them? Why should those people get involved with one of the eight or multiple of the eight councils?
Well, putting my company commander hat on, as a leader, I need to make sure I know my people and understand what motivates them. So even if they come from a different background, or even if they're dealing with issues that don't look like the issues I'm familiar with, how can I lead someone I don't know? So I want to make sure I'm taking care of my soldiers. So part of what we see is good leaders are joining, one, to find out about the different communities that make up Minnesota, two, in order to reach out to other soldiers and airmen, and it makes them more well-rounded as well, and three, they then get that information, those concerns on the ground, they get that feedback, and then they're able to implement training, strategies, communication within their own organizations, best practices that they know will help them retain the best, most qualified soldiers and airmen.
So from a leader's perspective, strong leaders will always strive to find a way to figure out what makes their subordinates or those they lead, what makes them tick, so that they can better lead them where they are at and help to shape and mold them into what they can be, you know, so their potential. We want to capitalize on that potential. So leaders want to be involved so that they can understand how those that are represented in those councils, how they kind of operate, what makes them tick again. And then from the just the general perspective of a normal enlisted or junior officer, junior enlisted soldier or airman, they want to get involved because it just helps them as a person to be a little bit more well-rounded, to have better understanding of the person to their left and right.
Absolutely. And we also do a bunch of fun things. So we have events with free food. We're out in the community partnering with other companies, with other non-governmental organizations. And given TAG's emphasis on this and its policy where you can split up to 20% of your drill periods or your full time, for a lot of folks, it's a great opportunity to get out of the office, get away from the drudgery maybe of going through some of the less fun drill stuff, and actually get to do something that feels worthwhile and feels like they're giving back, learning something, and just having that camaraderie and building community with other people.
So it helps with the retention. And then, as you mentioned, going out and doing some of these outreach type events, hopefully you get a return on investment as it relates to recruiting as well.
Absolutely. We definitely see that. And again, we recruit soldiers and airmen, but we retain families. So building those community relationships, building that trust, building that rapport is incredibly important to us as well. And having people see us in the communities, not just when something goes wrong or there's an emergency, but just seeing us out and about, it really helps us frame that, hey, we live here, we work here, we serve here, we're your partners, we're your neighbors, we're here for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, those that have the support of their family behind them, obviously, it just helps making that decision to stay just a little bit longer and continue their service. So great opportunities there. I do want to get to the meeting service members where they are. You've touched on this kind of throughout the conversation here, but again, talk to me about what that means. Where or how do you meet a service member where they are? And, you know, we've got so many things available to us, you know, technology-wise or whatever, but how do you do that?
So part of it is just look at differences in generational communication, and when you get feedback, actually act on it. So we saw, for example, that if somebody was in a town hall or a sensing session, they're less likely to raise their hand or speak out if the person who's rating them or is their first line leader is the person sitting next to them. People maybe not wanting to confront each other or not wanting to stick out like a sore thumb. So we do things like have interactive, anonymous trainings or methods of feedback. So our younger folks who feel more comfortable entering a comment about their climate on their cell phone, for example, that then pops up on the screen and other folks can see that and add on to it. We're able to facilitate that communication. People feel like their voices are being heard. Part of it as well is physically going to them. So my boss, Colonel Corey Robinson, and I frequently go around the state. We present, we give training, or we do site visits to different units all across the state, Army and Air. And it shows that our focus is not just on full-timers or those that reside in the metro, but that we want to be part of their organizations as well and see how we can help them.
And so what I'm hearing as well, that it's not all about getting to the person that is represented by that special emphasis council, but there's also a drive to learn how to interact better with or get to the generational differences of what's coming in, those current service members versus who's been in the organization for 15, 20 years, because things are drastically different.
Absolutely. Anybody who's been in for a minute knows that. So part of it is we still want to retain the best people. It doesn't matter if they're the older, more experienced, or the new folks coming in. We need to see how we can bring out the best for all of our people. The mission is always going to be our focus, but if we take care of our people, the mission will get taken care of.
Well, I think that's a great place to end the conversation is take care of our people. And the mission will get taken care of. And we want to, the Minnesota National Guard wants to represent those in the community because of the motto. What's the motto again?
We live here, we work here, we serve here.
Thank you so much, Captain Wiswell. I appreciate you spending time with us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks again for having me.
That was Captain Nicole Wiswell. She's not only the commander of headquarters and headquarters company at the 334th Brigade Engineer Battalion, but additionally full-time with the Minnesota National Guard in the Diversity and Inclusion Office as the Special Emphasis Program Manager. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we're going to hear about the Social Security Disability Outreach, Access, and Recovery Program within the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
America's men and women in uniform perform their duties with the utmost dignity, honor, and professionalism. Durable and sustainable peace is only possible by the efforts of their armed forces, both past and present, and their families. Our armed forces are also parents, spouses, partners, sons, and daughters. Members of the armed forces are forging a better future for our nation and the world. The freedoms we enjoy today would not be possible without their bravery, pride, courage, and sacrifice. I thank our armed forces for keeping America strong and secure. I wish all of our listeners a happy Armed Forces Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is K.J. Johnson from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. K.J. is the supervisor for the Social Security Disability Outreach, Access, and Recovery Program, or SOAR. K.J. has over 16 years of military service and is currently serving in the North Dakota Army National Guard. K.J., welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, so I'll just say right off the bat, I mean, normally we don't promote those that are serving in a different state, organization, or National Guard, but we'll make an exception in this case.
Hey, I care about Minnesota service members, and I'm a Minnesota resident myself, so I think I count.
Okay, well, it's good to have you here in the studio. It's always a better way to have a conversation, and the conversation we're going to have is something that I'm pretty interested in, because quite honestly, I'm just going to read it. Because it's a mouthful. The Social Security Disability Outreach, Access, and Recovery Program, or SOAR. It is a mouthful. We try to stay away from acronyms. I'm going to use the SOAR acronym throughout the conversation, so we don't have to keep saying that. But what is SOAR?
Sure. So SOAR is actually a national model that was developed by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, or SAMHSA. And the model was developed to particularly help people who are homeless or at risk of homelessness through the Social Security disability application process. This is a population that typically struggles with dealing with government programs, and they had one of the lowest success rates in getting approved for disability benefits. So the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs adopted this model to help veterans in the state of Minnesota, and it's a free service.
So I should point out that even though you just started at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs back in December of 22, you've actually got 8 years of work inside the Social Security Administration. So you bring a lot of experience to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And as you said, you like to serve our veterans. So this seems like a pretty good fit.
Oh, absolutely. When I was working for the Social Security Administration, I was actually processing and adjudicating those disability claims that came across my desk. So I have a lot of knowledge coming from the federal side to bring into this advocacy role.
Yeah, because it seems like a mouthful, an awful lot of information to try to understand and digest. And having been just on the job for a few months, I know through our conversations that you're well-versed in what the SOAR program is, specifically the Social Security disability piece of it. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
What is or who is actually eligible? Because we talk about Social Security as it is in the name. Mm-hmm. You're focusing in on a certain demographic or group of people.
Sure. So our agency particularly helps veterans. So there are three things that we're looking at to determine if a person is eligible for the Veterans SOAR program. And those are the veteran status, their housing status, and their disability. So I'll go through each one a little bit more in depth so you have an understanding of what we're looking at. So the very first thing, they have to be a veteran living in the state of Minnesota. You didn't have to serve in the Minnesota National Guard to be a veteran, but you do have to have either 2 years of service on active duty or active duty for the period of time that you were called to active duty. So that would apply to the National Guard and Reserves, and you would need an honorable discharge. Now, there is one exception to that, and that is if you are homeless and you apply to be on the Homeless Veterans Registry, which is a program that we also have through our agency to help people find housing. In that case, regardless of your discharge status, you would be eligible. So that's the veteran piece. The second part is homelessness or being at risk of homelessness. And that's a very broad description of what we're looking at. If you don't have your own home or you're struggling to pay for your rent or you're not sure where you're going to get the money to pay your bills because of your disability status or for other reasons, you would most likely qualify for our services. So I really don't want people to discount themselves because they think that they're better off than somebody that might qualify for that program. Contact us and we'll be able to help you out. The third thing that we're looking at is if the person has a disability that is significantly affecting their ability to work. So Social Security benefits are a little different from VA benefits. For Social Security, there are no short-term disability benefits, and we don't prorate or pay by percentages. So when you're receiving Social Security benefits, it's an either-or situation. You have to have a disability that's expected to last at least a year and limit your ability to work. And again, these are mental health conditions or physical health conditions, and substance use is not going to make you ineligible for disability. So if you have a mental health condition or a physical condition and you also have issues with substance use, we're still going to help you. If you think that maybe one of those three categories is iffy, I would recommend just contacting us or contacting your county veteran service officer to see if you might still be eligible.
And one of the things you had mentioned before the show, as it relates to disability and that kind of that broad spectrum, is if you are no longer able to work at the level you once were able to work,
sure,
you could be eligible for disability.
Yeah. So Social Security uses this term called substantial gainful activity. And what that means is that without assistance and without any sort of special work conditions, you are able to work and earn more than $1,470 gross income per month. So if you're receiving extra help at work, or you've had a lot of frequent absences, or somebody is helping you get to work, like if you have a job coach or you have somebody who is assisting you on the job, those are considered things that can be deducted from those earnings. But they're looking at that substantial gainful activity to determine if you're eligible to work. So if you're working a few hours here and there, you're probably still eligible for disability, even though you're in a part-time status.
And so what about the veteran's family? Can you support a veteran's family as well?
Yes. So right now we do help veterans' spouses. So the veteran would still have to meet the requirements that I talked about previously. But if they are currently married to a spouse who is struggling with a disability, we can help them as well. Now, children, we're not quite set up for that yet. But if you bring that to our attention, we can help you find another advocate in the state of Minnesota who provides free services to families with children who have disabilities.
And in the first spot or place a veteran should go to generally is their county veteran service officer. Mm-hmm. That's probably the best resource. Of course, there's 1-888 Link Vet, which is available.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a website as well, minnesotaveteran.org/SOAR, and it's
yes.
SOAR. And that would get them some information as well.
Absolutely.
But the bottom line is that if someone calls your office or is in mm-hmm. contact with your office, and they're not eligible, how do you handle that then? What would you do with that person?
Sure. That's a frequent scenario for us. A lot of times people contact us and they just have questions. And maybe they're still working full time and they're not ready to file for disability, but they want to know what their options are. Our very first step when we screen people is we make sure that all of their questions are answered. If in our conversation it appears that somebody isn't eligible for our services, we will get them in touch with somebody who can help them. There are a lot of options for filing for Social Security benefits. You can file an application online yourself. You can go through your Social Security office. But the SOAR advocacy program offers a lot of benefits to a person. So if you're eligible for that, I would recommend taking us up on that free offer for help, because it really does make a difference. If we can't help, or if Social Security disability benefits are not the right benefit for your situation, we will refer you to other programs and make sure that you have somebody who can help you. We hate to leave veterans empty-handed, so we'll do that legwork and get you in touch with the right people.
And that's a great attitude to have, is always be willing to help. So we have to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with KJ Johnson. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We will be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and we've been speaking with KJ Johnson, who's the supervisor for the Social Security Disability Outreach Access and Recovery Program, SOAR, within the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. So, KJ, we were having some great conversation before, and just kind of walk me through this. If I call your office and I'm eligible for the program, what does that process look like? What do you do next?
Well, we have a great model for that. So once we've decided that you qualify for the SOAR program, we're going to get in touch with you and we're going to schedule a time and place to meet in person. No matter where you are in the state of Minnesota, we will come to you and we're going to meet with you in person and complete that application online. A lot of the difficult work that we do in the application process starts with that initial application. After that, your SOAR representative is going to continue on with the process and keep you updated along the path toward getting a decision on your claim. But I want to talk a little bit about what it means to have a representative for disability. I want to clarify some things. I don't want people to think that we're lawyers. I did not go to law school. We are non-attorney representatives. And what that means is that we agree to partner with you in this application process. There's a form that you sign saying that you agree to have us represent you before Social Security. And that is a commitment between you as the veteran and ourselves as the representatives. And that means that you're going to cooperate with us and help us help you through that process. The good thing is we're all trained on how to obtain medical records. We know how to fill out all the forms. We have strong relationships with the Social Security Administration and the Disability Determination Service, which is the state agency that makes that medical decision. And so we're going to communicate with them, get copies of every letter that either one of those agencies sends to you, and we're going to follow up. All you have to do is just, you know, keep in contact with us by email, by phone, text message. It really doesn't matter, just as long as you stay in touch with us.
And if I give you all the information that you need, what is the length of time that it kind of takes generally to, you know, from start to end?
It can be a lengthy process. Right now, every agency right now in Minnesota seems to be dealing with hiring new people. And everybody's recovering from COVID. So some of these things take a little bit longer than they used to. Right now, I'm seeing about 6 to 8 months to get a medical decision, but some cases take even longer without a representative to follow up.
And so the key here, though, is get your information
together,
be responsive, because although you're an advocate, you're not gonna do the work for them, meaning, hey, look, if you don't give us what we need, then there's really nothing else you can do.
Yeah, we really try to encourage people along the way. It can feel difficult sometimes to go through a lengthy process like this to get a medical decision, but we're your cheerleaders. We're going to help you. We're going to remind you why you wanted to do this in the first place, and we're going to encourage you through that process so that we can get everything done. But most of your work is going to be at the very beginning.
So we only have about 2 minutes left, but the Social Security disability, what if I'm a veteran that's receiving a VA compensation?
So the great thing is you can file for Social Security disability and still receive your VA comp. Some benefits to that would be that 2 years down the road, you're going to be eligible for Medicare, which just gives you more options. You also would potentially have a payment that would be paid to your minor children or your spouse. So that also provides security. And there's some great work incentives. If down the road you want to try to go back to work, you won't necessarily lose your benefits right away if you try to do so.
And so people should reach out to their CVSO, call 1-888-LINK-VET, or go to MinnesotaVeteran.org/SOAR for more information. a long and daunting process, but one that I can see the benefit of having a team member, one of your team members, support someone through this, because the word on the street is what?
Oh, yeah. So the word on the street that I've heard is that everyone gets denied the first time. That simply isn't true. The national SOAR model has a 65% success rate in getting an initial approval without any appeals. So maybe you would be less successful if you apply on your own, but you have a higher success rate if you apply with us. And I guarantee it's a 0% success rate if you don't apply.
Yeah, that's a great way to state it, right? Was it Michael Jordan that said you miss 100% of the shots you don't take?
Absolutely.
Something to that effect anyway. So 20 seconds, final word.
All right. Well, if you know somebody who is struggling to work and is dealing with a disability, I encourage you to have them reach out to us. Make a referral. If you're having any questions yourself, please reach out to your county veteran service officers so that they can help you. This is a great program, and I'm so fortunate to work for this agency and to work in this role. I would love to help you out.
That is KJ Johnson from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And KJ is the supervisor for the Social Security Disability Outreach Access and Recovery Program, the SOAR program. KJ, thanks for joining Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Joining us now is Marty Howes, the County Veteran Service Officer in Roseau County and also the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Marty, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Doug. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, I understand that you've been doing a little bit of traveling, and we tried to get you down in the studio again today, but you were here yesterday for a big event. Talk to us a little bit about that Veterans Career Fair.
By golly, I wish I could have made it. Yeah, the Veterans Career Fair was a hit again. You know, they do this every year, and it's held down at the Heritage Center of Brooklyn Center, which is just it's just an awesome venue, and they have nearly 100 employers from all over the state, and these employers are typically hand-picked, and they're picked based on, you know, like, you know, the type of wages that they offer, you know, based on, you know, their family sustaining wages and benefits that they can offer, and it's keyed towards veterans employment, and they had a little over, I think it was a little over 300 veterans or so last year, and I think this year, I think they kind of maybe blew it out of the water a little bit more this year. It seemed like a really good turnout, and there's opportunities there for veterans to get, like if they do like LinkedIn or something like that, they can get their picture taken, there's mock interviews that are done, resume writing that takes place, and then, you know, the service providers are all there too, you know, as far as like MDBA, CVSOs are there. We had, like, out of our local CVSOs, we had Christy Janico out of Hennepin County and Andrea Markham out of Washington County, and then, of course, myself out of Roseau County. So we had, you know, some pretty good coverage from the state there, and we were there to talk to these veterans and talk to these other employers to see all of the things that we could do to try to, you know, how can we help you get more veterans into your business? And then, you know, the veterans that were there, you know, how can we help you? How can we be of assistance? You know, we want to do everything that we can to take care of our sisters and our brothers and, you know, get them into the career field that they need and, you know, in any way that we can. So it was really a treat. It was really something to be a part of.
Well, I'm glad that it was a successful event. And, you know, if someone missed out on it this year, you know, that's too bad. They'll have to look for it again next year. It sounds like a lot of great resources available to anybody who's in that career hunt, whether it's for a new job or employment itself, if they're not currently employed. So a great recap. We've got just about a minute left, Marty. Can you tell us a little bit about what's been going on in the association?
Oh, yeah, you bet. The association has been just, it's been crazy busy. Every office I talk to has been pretty much swamped with veterans. But hey, if you're out there, if you're looking for, you got some questions on your benefits, don't let that hold you back. You know, give a call to your local CVSO of your county and get on in there and make your appointment. We've just finished up with our spring conferences, so we've got everybody is pretty much trained up and ready to go, and we're looking to our fall conferences. And then currently right now we've still looking for an executive director. So if you want to come join the team and be a part of something great, it's on macbso.org, and you can see all the information there.
All right, so executive director position available. Go check it out to be a part of this great organization. Hey, Marty, I just want to say thanks for jumping in and spending some time with us here on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Doug. It's a pleasure.
That was Marty Howes. He is the County Veteran Service Officer in Roseau County and also the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. I have a call to action today. St. Thomas Academy is hosting the Wall That Heals and Mobile Education Center in Mendota Heights. The Wall That Heals is a 3/4 scale of the Vietnam Memorial. Both the Wall and Education Center will be open 24 hours a day from 2 p.m. on Friday, May 26th through 2 p.m. on Monday, May 29th. St. Thomas Academy is looking for volunteers to support this event. Please go to cadets.com/wallthatheals for more information. And we're just about out of time. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Captain Nicole Wiswell, the Special Emphasis Program Manager for the Minnesota National Guard. KJ Johnson, the Supervisor for the SOAR Program at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Marty Howes, the President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Affairs. And finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week when we speak with the Navy League, hear from the Chanhassen American Legion, and get an update from the director at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, and I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a great week and find a way to make a positive impact on someone's life.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.